I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And the second message I plan to preach, a subject called a Pentecostal message. But as I began to look at the message this morning, my heart was drawn back to chapter 1. And I want us to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And this is a promise that was given by the Lord Jesus Christ to his apostles before he ascended into heaven. Here's what he said. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The Lord told his disciples, and these two words right here mean the same thing. They're the same word, same word. It means to immerse. And the Lord told his disciples, John immersed you in water. He administered the baptism, the confession of faith by a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, I'm telling you that you're going to be baptized, you're going to be immersed by the Holy Ghost, and not many days hence. It won't be long. He said, now, this glorious truth of baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not even going to, I don't even want to go and try to refute these things that are being preached. There's so many things that, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Ghost, it has to do, and it's all taken, they take words from the book of Acts. But there's a complete distortion. It's nothing but works, it's nothing but pride, it's nothing but arrogance, it's nothing but, it's a look to me, but I know this, that this is truth. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I read Robert Hawker had related an illustration that he had read. And Hawker was hundreds of years ago when Robert Hawker, he said, I read an illustration, he said, that gave me some real help. He said, these two baptisms that's being spoken of, John baptized, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said, I read an illustration where a man was talking about making pickles. Making pickles. And he said, the first step that was taken in the making of these pickles was these cucumbers were baptized in water. And they just washed them. They just washed them. And they cleaned the cucumbers, you know. Then they took the cucumbers out. But he said when they put the cucumbers in the jars, in the vinegar, and they stayed there, they were baptized again. But they stayed there to become perfected as pickles. And I thought, you know, I can understand that. Two different baptisms, same word. One of them was a washing, a cleansing. It was a temporary thing. One of them was a permanent thing for the perfecting of, for the curing of, for the making of. I thought, I'm going to use that illustration. I'll take that one and I'll give him credit for it. But he gave somebody else too. But you're going to be baptized. Now here's what I know. This explanation of baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something I could find just absolute clear explanation of the baptism, but the evidence of it is given in the Scriptures. And that evidence, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, is the way in which the Word of God reveals that the Holy Ghost reveals Himself, manifests Himself. God's Spirit, one with the Father, one with the Son, is going to manifest Himself, and He's going to baptize you with Himself, and you're going to receive power. It is the Spirit of God who is absolutely revealed to be the builder of the church. Now, understand something. In that eternal covenant of grace, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, one God, everlastingly covenanted for the redemption and salvation of God's people. The Holy Spirit is revealed here to be the one that baptizes God's people into, in an open manifestation of, the church. The Father chose them from before the foundation of the world. The Son Himself came into this world and redeemed them. And the Spirit of God will baptize them, immerse them in regenerating grace into an open manifestation of who we are, lively stones. Now, it's this blessed Spirit who has directed the people of God from the beginning, when they were in the Old Testament. I want you to turn to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. Now, it was the Spirit of God Himself that was moving and directing and all these types and pictures and in the Old Testament. Look at Hebrews 9, verses 1 to 8. Who was directing back in the wilderness? When they were in the wilderness, in the tabernacle, and they had the priesthood, Aaron and the different priests, who was directing? Listen to this. Hebrews 9, 1, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now you know all those things. That candlestick sets forth Christ, the light of the world. That showbread is Christ, the bread from heaven. In verse 3, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God, but into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Now listen to this. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. It was a figure. It was a type. Who moved? It was the Spirit of God. Who is moving today? Directing, ordering, guiding the Holy Ghost. It is God's Spirit who anointed men of old, holy men, to write the Holy Scriptures. It was the Spirit of God Himself who anointed the Lord Jesus Christ without measure. It's the Spirit of God Himself who teaches and guides. Anything you know, anything we learn, anything that we understand concerning these Scriptures, the Holy Ghost taught you. The Spirit of God is moving in God's people. Even unto us, it says, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God's Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that the Lord said God is going to promise something to you. He's going to promise. Now, what is that promise? Back in Acts chapter 1, here's the promise. He said in verse 4, And verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me. Now, wait, don't move. The Father's promised you. What is the promise? Look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. The Spirit of God is going to manifest Himself. The Father manifested Himself when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, when He was on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Father manifested Himself. What did He do? He spoke from heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. The Lord Jesus Christ manifest Himself during the days of His humiliation upon this earth. 33.5 years He walked this earth in perfect obedience before God, manifest Himself that He is the Christ. And now the Holy Spirit is going to manifest Himself. The Lord says, you wait. Now, I want us to look for just a few minutes, starting in chapter 2. Starting in chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first few verses, and I'm going to stop at about verse 21. But I'm going to mainly just read and just give a very, very light, if I can use that word, explanation of what's going on, and then get into the second message starting in chapter 22. But here's what's happening. The Lord said, you wait in Jerusalem, don't leave until God Almighty sends the promise. Till He sends the promise of the Spirit, you're going to receive power. Here's what happened. The Spirit of God says through Luke chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The Lord had told them, don't leave. He as the Passover was getting ready now to ascend into heaven. 40 days He had been here. And He told them, don't leave. Not many days hence, God's going to reveal to you the promise. 10 days later, Pentecost means 50. It's Penta, 50, like the Pentagon. Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover, the Lord is our Passover. 50 days later now is the day of Pentecost. 50 days. It's been about 10 days since the Lord ascended. He told them, stay in Jerusalem. Don't get out of Jerusalem until I send the promise. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, a violent. It wasn't blowing. They didn't feel it. The Scripture doesn't say they felt it as far as the wind knocking things over. What it was, there was a sound from heaven. It was a noise. It was a rushing mighty wind, a noise, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It was completely dominating where they were. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, a few weeks ago I preached on being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now remember, these apostles are there. Peter's there. Peter's going to speak in just a few minutes. These men were believers, but the Spirit of God filled them, prepared them, moved upon them in a special way. That's what this being filled with the Holy Ghost is referring to. They were filled with the Holy Ghost for a specific purpose. Every time we read in the Scriptures where men were filled with the Holy Ghost, it was for a specific reason. God was going to accomplish something in particular. And He moved upon them in power. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And here's what happened. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, every time you find in Scripture the word tongue, it's either talking about this, an actual tongue, this tongue in your mouth. It's either talking about that, or it's talking about a language, a specific language, something that men know and understand. Now, I may not be able to speak it, but it is a spoken language. It's something that men understand. Somebody understands it. Somebody hears it and understands it. Now, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak in languages that was not their native language. They were not, they just a few minutes, they're going to say, oh, these are Galileans right here. They naturally spoke Galileans. But here they were, they began to speak in languages that they had never learned before. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews and devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were troubled. This began to bother them because every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, I've said before, was the miracle in the speaking or was the miracle in the hearing? Well, I'm going to say probably both. But the Scripture says they heard in their language. I don't speak Russian. But if this miracle of tongues, of speaking in tongues, it's not this false stuff that we hear today. It, you know, where men try to, you know, speak this gibberish and stuff like that and bring attention to them. It's nothing. It's flesh. It's flesh. It's pride. It's arrogance. I can do it and you can't. I've known people. I've known people that were surrounded by others, and they would try to work them into a frenzy and talking this gibberish and trying to get them to try to emulate. If somebody's got to make me emulate what you're saying, you've got to teach me how to do it, then it's not of the Lord. These men were speaking in languages that they had never learned before. The Spirit of God moved upon this, upon them in power. And the Scripture says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. You know, if somebody would just read what the Scripture says, they would understand what speaking in tongues was. These men, we hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What is this all about? What's going on here? We're all together here we're here because we're commanded by the law to be here. three feasts a year that a Jew had to go to Jerusalem, had to go for these feasts. Pentecost was one of them. Now what's going on here? What means this? But others, verse 13, mocking, and said, these men are full of new wine. There's nothing to this. These men are drunk. They're drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These men, he's saying, they're not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour. It was somewhere between 9 and 12 in the morning. When it was, say, like the third hour, the sixth hour, it could be anywhere in that three-hour period. It's somewhere in the morning. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, and here he begins to relate and recite what Joel had said. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, upon all different manner of flesh. That's what they had just said. We're from all over the place. We're from this place, and this one, and this. And these men are speaking, and we're all hearing it in our native tongue. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants, on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. That's what they were doing. I'm going to pour out my spirit, and they're going to preach, and you're going to hear. And I'm going to show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord told his apostles. He said, not very long hence, he said, God's going to send the promise. I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Don't move. And when God the Holy Spirit came in power, this is what happened. Now, in just a few minutes, I'm going to pick up in this second verse, and we're going to look at verses 22 through the end of the chapter. And I'm going to preach on a Pentecostal message, on Pentecostal repentance, and on a Pentecostal walk. What happened on the day of Pentecost? May the Lord bless these words to our hearts. For Christ's sake, amen.